All right, we kind of touched on this last week, and so done some more studying, done some more reading, and I want to talk to you this morning about the book of Revelation and how North Korea and China and also Russia may play into the end times. And so we're going to take a look at that here now. These are some headlines. All of these headlines have been in newspapers across the United States just in the past 10 days, okay? Schumer, who is the leading Democrat in the United States Senate, urges President Trump to block a China deal over North Korea. What he was saying was, we were doing a trade deal with China, and he was saying that we shouldn't do a trade deal with China until China agrees to try to get North Korea under control. Then this another headline, China parades new missile in warning to rivals abroad and at home. So China had a parade, literally, where they showed some of their new military weapons in an effort to intimidate the rest of the world, but also to intimidate anybody within China who may think that they are about to overthrow that government. China shows off military might as Xi Jinping, that's their president, tries to cement power. Sounds like maybe there's a power struggle going on in China, which means that there's instability, but they're trying to cement that so that the current government remains in power. North Korea can hit most of the United States. Now that's a release from United States officials who say that North Korea has now developed missiles that are powerful enough that they can hit almost any place in the United States. The only hiccup in the threat of North Korea is most experts agree they have developed a nuclear bomb. And they have developed missiles that can reach the United States. They just have not yet developed the technology to put that nuclear warhead on those missiles. So that's the last piece of the puzzle that they are waiting for before they are able to theoretically attack the United States. Now that first headline I just gave you was from the United States. This one's from North Korea. North Korea claims all of the United States is in strike range, and Trump says China has done nothing. China's done nothing to try to stop them. They're the most influential with North Korea. Democrats and Republicans agree China's virtually doing nothing to try to stop North Korea. And then it says, North Korea lacks capacity to hit United States with accuracy. That's from a general in the United States military. Now I want you to think about this headline for a second. He's not saying they can't hit us with a nuclear missile. He's just saying they're not very accurate with it. Well, that's not much comfort to me. I mean, does that mean that if they aim for Little Rock, they might hit Conway? I mean, that's not a good thing if they aim for Dallas and hit Fort Worth. I mean, you still have the potential for millions and millions of people to be killed, and we're acknowledging that the biggest threat in the world right now, North Korea, because they've got unstable leadership, and when I say unstable, I mean the guy's mentally ill, who has the ability to launch a missile that can hit any place in the United States. I mean, this ought to scare all of us. I mean, this is a real threat. I'll tell you something I was thinking about last night, and I don't know how many of you are going to be in the age range where you had this same experience. When I was a little kid, and I don't really remember, maybe first or second grade, I remember the teachers didn't tell us what the drill was about, but we had drills where we were taught that if an alarm goes off, you get underneath your desk and you cover up. Now, I was raised in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is across the river from Barksdale Air Force Base, which at the time was the second largest military base in the world. And so it was pretty certain that if anybody was going to launch a nuclear attack against the United States, Barksdale was going to be one of their primary targets. And so I didn't know, us as little kids, we didn't understand what that was for. We thought maybe it was tornadoes, but it wasn't. They were preparing us in the event that there was a nuclear attack on the United States. So this isn't a new threat. This is a threat that's been around for 50, 60 years, but that is becoming more prominent because now countries that want to do us harm don't have to fly an airplane over Arkansas or over Louisiana to drop a bomb. They can push a button from home and launch a missile that can carry that bomb to the United States. Let's look at Revelation 16:12. It says, the sixth angel poured out a bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Now let's talk about this for just a second. If you remember in Revelation, it talks about the judgments that are going to precede the second coming of Christ. It talks about Armageddon, all right? If you remember, you have the seven seal judgments, you have the seven trumpet judgments, and you have the seven bowl judgments. Well, this is what we're talking about here. Well, as I'm talking about today's lesson, you're probably thinking, well, why are we talking about bowl judgments when we hadn't seen the trumpet judgments happen yet before us? Or we haven't seen the seal judgments happen yet, and they come before the bowl judgments. Well, the reality is, number one, our timing is not God's timing. What to us may be 1,000 years is a blink of an eye to God. And so it's possible that some of these judgments are already in the process of coming together, and then at the right moment, they will be unleashed on us. Okay? So we don't know when these things are going to happen. We have no idea. Cannot predict it. The Bible tells us that no man can predict when these things are going to happen. But this one tells us that a judgment was poured out, and the great river Euphrates and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. This is a map of what we call the Middle East, okay? And I don't know how well y'all can see it. But if you look up there, I guess to your left, the river there is the Euphrates. That's the river that's being talked about in this prophecy. This river is incredibly important in a lot of different ways. It's the primary source of water commerce in that part of the world. And what comes out of that part of the world? Oil. And oil drives the world. So it's important from that aspect today. But guess what else the river Euphrates was? That was the eastern border of the promised land. The land that God told Abraham would be the land of the Jews forever. When God described where it spread to, it stopped at the Euphrates River. And so now we have a prophecy in the book of Revelation that's telling us that the Euphrates River is going to dry up, which will enable these armies from the east to cross the Euphrates into what we call the Holy Land and to the part of the world that God promised the Jewish people. So it's an incredibly important river and border. Revelation 16, 13. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. Now, I don't know how many of you were here when Brother Mike taught this class, but we spent about 7 years going over the book of Revelation. I'm joking. I don't remember how long we spent on it, but it was a long, long, long time because the book is very, very complicated. And when you have verses like this where it's talking about three unclean spirits like frogs, you can find 100 different Bible commentaries that tell you that means 100 different things. So none of us are certain about what this means. But if you look at what's going on in the world, and you look at what it seems like this verse is saying, you can see now maybe how some of this stuff is starting to come together. We're certain that the three unclean spirits that it's mentioning there are the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and the mouth of the false prophet. Okay, that's where the unclean spirits are. Well, some Bible commentators think that this army that's going to cross the Euphrates and go into the Holy Land is going to be led by demonic spirits. And I think that's true. But I think those demonic spirits are going to use real people to lead those armies. All right, look at China and North Korea. What are some things that they have in common? First of all, they're both atheist nations. Both of them persecute Christians, some of the worst persecution that we see any place on earth. Secondly, they all believe that Christians are infidels, that we are the ones that are messed up, and that they have the true answers. Well, who's that sound like? That sounds like the false prophet. I mean, everything that we're told in the Bible about the false prophet is he tries to twist the truth and turn it into lies. And that's exactly how the Chinese and the North Korean governments run their countries, is they take what's true and they twist it into lies. So it's very reasonable to think that when they're talking about these armies coming from the east, and we'll get into that in just a minute, that they could be led by the governments of China and North Korea and possibly even Russia. Well, that leads me to my question. Could the three unclean spirits be led to control the Soviet Union, China, and North Korea? Well, here's a map of that region of the world. And if you look over on your left, in I don't know again if you can see it, but the big country down there almost in the left corner, bottom left corner, is Saudi Arabia. And just above that is Israel. That's the Holy Land. That's what everybody ultimately is going to be fighting over. And then you see at the top of the screen, that's China. And then to the bottom right, top of the screen is Russia, then to the bottom right is China, and then just off the coast of China is North Korea. So all of those countries are to the east of where this battle is going to take place, and that comes into Bible prophecy here in just a second. Revelation 16:14. For they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. So that's telling us that forces led by these evil spirits are going to come together, and they're going to try to convince the rest of the world to join them in this battle. Well, who is the common foe of all of these communist countries, of all the Muslim countries, of all the other countries of the world except for the United States and its allies? Israel. That's the common foe. That's who the Bible has told us is going to be part of this final attack. That's who's being attacked at Armageddon. Revelation 16:15. Now, this is a quote of Jesus. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. What's that mean? It means that as Christians, we are called to live a life in obedience to Jesus Christ every day of the week. And that if you do that, when he comes back, you won't be caught off guard. You won't be caught in an embarrassing situation. You won't be caught in a place where people question your Christianity. That will never happen if you're always on guard and always in mind that Jesus Christ is coming back, and we don't know when it will be, and it could be in the next second. That should always be in the front of our minds. Revelation 16:16, and they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. That's the literal physical place where this will happen. Again, we have a map of Israel. And you see there, just to the right of the part that's labeled Israel in a different color, what's called the West Bank. Well, that's the part of Israel today. Israel actually owns that land that the Palestinians are fighting with Israel over. They want that. And you can see down there in the corner of Israel in the West Bank is Jerusalem, which is at the center of all that. And just north of that, the name of the place today is Megiddo, and that is the place that is Armageddon. That's where Armageddon is going to be taking place. It's a vast area of plains, flat land, where this battle will actually take place. Now, this passage predicts a massive climactic conflict known as the Battle of Armageddon. It occurs at the end of the tribulation after the sixth bowl judgment. It is the kings from the east identification that many associate with China and Korea. The Chinese-led coalition will take advantage of the removal of a natural barrier and sweep westward. Now, the reality is that there are a lot of things that modern military weapons can overcome, but crossing rivers is still extremely difficult for the military, particularly big rivers like the Euphrates. And so if you remove the Euphrates as a natural barrier between Israel and the countries that are hostile to Israel, then you make it easy for those countries to invade. When the end times force from China, North Korea, and Russia join with the armies of the Antichrist, the seventh and final bowl judgment will be poured out. Revelation 16, 17 says, "The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, 'It is done.'" So that's the last battle that will be fought after the tribulation. 16, 18. "And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake." Let me talk to you a little bit about this verse, and I want you to think about it in these terms. Completely off subject from this for just a second. Have y'all noticed over the past couple of years that earthquakes are happening like every few weeks in Oklahoma? Have y'all noticed that? That's new. That's traditionally never happened before. And scientists are pretty sure that it's caused by a man-made event called fracking. And that's where petroleum engineers have discovered that you can do something in the crevices of the rock deep in the earth that will cause what once were dried up gas wells to push more gas to the surface so that we can take it out of the earth and use it. But one of the side effects of doing that process is that it causes earthquakes. Now, until this happened, nobody was certain that man could cause earthquakes, that man by actions that he takes could cause earthquakes. But when that happened, they went back and they started looking to see if there were other historical events that have occurred that also caused earthquakes. And guess what they discovered? They discovered that not only when the United States dropped the atomic bombs on Japan, but also when countries have tested atomic weapons, that earthquakes occur shortly after those tests are conducted. So now let's think about nuclear weapons for a second. We've all seen the pictures of nuclear bombs exploding, but typically we see, you know, a 10, 20, 30 second clip of the mushroom cloud. That's what we see. Well, let's look at this description from Revelation 16, 18. It says, "There were flashes of lightning." Do you know what happens after a nuclear bomb explodes? Terrible thunderstorms occur in the area. In fact, they talk about that in Japan after we dropped the nuclear bomb, that much of the death that occurred came from flash floods as a result of thunderstorms that were formed after the nuclear bomb was dropped. And then rumblings, peals of thunder. They say that the explosion of a nuclear bomb deafens people hundreds and hundreds of miles away. It bursts their eardrums because it is so loud. So they're not even close to where the bomb went off. They're hundreds of miles away, and they're left deaf because that sound is so great. And a great earthquake. We just talked about how we know now historically that when nuclear bombs have been exploded, earthquakes have occurred. Such as this have never been since man was on the earth. Well, you say, well, wait a second, you're telling us that all these things have already happened back in the 40s and the 50s when nuclear bombs were dropped and being tested, so we've already seen that. But folks, the kind of nuclear weapons that we have today are not like the kinds of nuclear bombs that we dropped on Japan. They are thousands of times more powerful. And so if they were caused to explode today, it would be devastation and lightning and thunder and earthquakes like we have never seen before. Am I telling you with certainty that that's what Revelation 16, 18 is talking about? No, I can't say that. I don't know. But I'll tell you that it matches up. It matches up with a nuclear weapon explosion. And the potential of a nuclear weapon explosion is at the highest that it has ever been because of the instability in China and North Korea today. And we are their enemy. They view us as their enemy. Revelation 16, 19. "The great city, Jerusalem, was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. A couple of things there. First of all, Jerusalem split into three parts. It sounds like what happens when an army invades a city. Typically, you see the city get split off. The army, initially when they invade, they take over part of the city, but other parts are left unconquered. And then over time, they conquer more and more. If you've paid attention to what's been going on in Iraq, you know the city of Mosul. That's been going on for a couple of years. The city was divided into parts, and slowly U.S.-led forces have taken over the entire city. So that makes sense that that could occur in an invasion. The cities of the nations fell. Why might cities of the nations fall? Because they've been attacked by nuclear weapons. That's one explanation for how they could fall. And then Babylon, which is present-day Iran, is made to drink the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. God takes out his fury on that nation. 16:20. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. In other words, the destruction was so great that the geography of the earth was changed forever. That's what it's talking about there. Is it impossible to know for sure if the Eastern Confederacy of the end times will include China, North Korea, and Russia? Yes, it's impossible to know that for certain. However, it seems likely that they will be involved somehow. That a development of enormous military strength, the pursuit of global economic dominance and aggressive rhetoric on the world stage, and of course the persecution of Chinese Christians, all of this has been characteristic of China and North Korea particularly. If you had to look at two countries who persecute Christians the worst and have the ability militarily to do these things, those would be the two countries that you would pick out. It's not hard to imagine that the kings from the east that were in that first verse that we read, who one day will march into Israel, will include those three nations. Some people identify another battle mentioned earlier in Revelation as a prophecy of China in the end times. This association hinges on the mention of an army of 200 million soldiers. Revelation 9:16 says, "The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000, I heard their number." If you do the math, 10,000 times 10,000 times 2, which is what that's saying, is 200 million soldiers, an enormous number. Military experts estimate that the size of China's current military personnel at 3.7 million soldiers. However, look at this. China has 750 million people of military age. So they could put together an army of 200 million people at the drop of a hat. A couple of other things to keep in mind. First of all, China's not like the United States. They don't have a voluntary military. Everyone in China, when they reach military age, is required to serve in the military. They serve for a few years, then they are let out, but they are always subject to being recalled to the military. So what's that mean? That means that 750 million Chinese have already had military training. That's what that means. By the comparison, the United States has 2.3 million people in its military and a military age population of 145 million. So to compare, China had 3.7 million actually in the military. The United States has 2.3 million, so a little more than half. And then military age, China has 750 million people of military age and of military experience. The United States has 145 million people of military age, but a great percentage of that number have no military experience. So how well prepared are we to stop them if this happens? We're not prepared at all. I mean, just the numbers tell you there is no potential for us militarily to stop them. There are a couple of problems with the view that those verses are talking about the army that will cross the Euphrates. One is that Revelation 9 says nothing about the army coming from the east. They don't tell us where these 200 million soldiers are coming from. It speaks of a demonic horde that destroys a third of mankind. So we don't know for certain that's what it's talking about there. It doesn't tie those two together, but it seems like maybe that's all part of the same series of events. In the end times, many nations, likely including China, will try their hand at conquest. One of the things that we don't think about here in the United States is, you know, we kind of rest on the fact that the United States is the size that it is, and we never talk about expanding the size of our country. Rightfully so. I don't think that we ought to militarily go out and take over other countries just for the sake of taking them over. But that's not the view that most of the world has. China does want to take over many parts of the world. They are open about that. They're actively pursuing it. Did you know that China, for years now, has been building islands in the Pacific Ocean? I'm not talking about taking someplace that's already an island and improving it to make it a military base. I'm talking about they bring in tanker after tanker after tanker ships with soil on them and fill in the Pacific Ocean and build islands that they then establish air bases on. They've been doing that for years. And now they're building some of those islands so close to United States allies that our country and other countries are starting to say, what's their motive here? Why do they need islands that have air bases on them right off the coast of the Philippines? What's the purpose in that? Now, China will tell you, oh, that's all for trade. You know, we have so many ships carrying our cargo. We just need to have military bases around the world so that we can protect those from countries that might want to try to seize them. But military experts don't think that's what they're doing at all. We think that they are positioning themselves to, at some point, make a run to try to take over other nations. Ultimately, their fight will be against God. The tribulation will be a tumultuous time of warfare, disasters, and divine judgment. But God has it all under control, as Psalm 2, verses 2 through 6 assures us. It says, the kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven, Jesus, laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. The great news is, in the end, they can't defeat God. That no matter whether the United States is prepared to go to a war of this magnitude or not, they can't defeat God. We don't have to save God. God's going to save himself. God's going to save all those who believe in him. That's the good news. The bad news is this earth is going to see destruction and devastation and death like we have never seen before. Christians get complacent and we think, well, God's in control. Nothing bad's going to happen. Folks, God's told us bad things are going to happen. It's coming. And every day we get closer to this. And I'm just asking that we keep our eyes open to what's going on around the world. And we need to be prepared as Christians, like Jesus Christ warned us. He's coming like a thief in the night. Be prepared. Be committed to him. Be obedient to him so that you're not caught as being naked, so that you are ready for all of these things to happen and your faith is not shaken. And you're not tempted to say, boy, the world's going in a different direction than most Christians. I think maybe it's time for me to join the world and step away. You can't ever let that thought enter your mind. One last thing I want to say about this lesson today, talking about the end times. Did y'all see the story about the company in Minnesota that's implanting all of their employees with a microchip underneath their skin? You know, now if you go into a lot of businesses, they'll have what they call key cards, or like in a hotel room where it's just looks like a little credit card, and you just touch it against device on the door and it causes the door to come open. And some of those same devices in some businesses, if you need to make copies, that's the way you turn on the copy machine so that it's tracking who's using the copier. And they're used throughout all kinds of technology, so they track who's doing what. Well, this company has said they've taken the next step. They're not going to issue those little cards to their employees anymore. Currently, it's voluntary, but the company admitted that their move is to require all of their employees to get a microchip implanted under their skin so that when they walk up to a door, the door will recognize them and be unlocked, and the copier will allow them to use it, and computers will allow them to turn those things on. What's that remind us of? But there will come a time when people will voluntarily receive the mark of the beast. Now, am I telling you that company in Minnesota is implanting these people with the mark of the beast? I'm not saying that. I don't know what their ultimate goal is, but I'm telling you that the world is changing in such a way that all of these things that God has promised us are going to come true are beginning to happen. We can see them starting to take shape. Let's go to Him in prayer. God, I just pray that each person in this class, first of all, Lord, will spread your word. Well, they'll remind family members and friends and people that they come in contact with that there is coming a day of judgment, that there is coming a day of chaos on this earth like we've never seen before, and that the only way that we can be assured of surviving that and spending eternity with you is to commit our lives to you today. God, I pray that each one of us will be on guard, that we'll conduct ourselves in ways that cause us not ever to worry about when you come back. God, that we'll be prepared, we'll have our families prepared. God, I pray that our nation will be prepared and will embrace the time when you come back to save us. God, we just thank you for all that you've done, and we pray for your continued blessings and guidance. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.